This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Well, Mark Drumheller here, filling in for Nick and Ken today. We're going to continue moving along, talking about the NBA playoffs. We just touched on the Mavs and Clippers. We're going to be bouncing all around from east to west, talking about the Knicks and Sixers here coming up in just a few moments. We also have a great lineup of guests going forward. Pat Boyle, co-host of BetQL Five Star Weekend, he's going to join us at 4:20 next segment to talk a little NBA. And Mark, Pat just tweeted that he's got a juicy pick that he has been cooking up earlier today, and he's excited. It might be his favorite bet of the entire postseason. So I'm excited to see what he has to say, because it's a pretty big tease that he is putting out there for us.
Yeah, Pat knows his stuff, man, and he delivers. So I'm going to be antennas up on that one. I might open up the old BetMGM Sportsbook account right before he hops on so I can get in right away. So I want to see, hopefully, you know, his line of thinking aligns with mine. Last time we had Pat on the show, we went head to head and ended up on the losing end of that. So rather than seek revenge against him, I think we should align on this one and, walk to the window together.
Yeah, if you can't beat him, join him, right? That's how the saying
goes.
That's
right. All that matters is the money in your pocket. I got no ego when it comes to cash.
That is exactly right. Andy Hart, co-host of the Six Rings podcast, is going to join us at 5:40 to talk a little NFL draft. And then Joe DeLera, host of the Cash That podcast, is joining us at 6 p.m. to talk more NBA. We're going to be bouncing all around. We're with you for the next 3 hours. We're also with our friends over at Stadium from 4 to 6 in the East. We'll simulcast over there, so you can check us out there as well as youtube.com/Odyssey Sports. And as always, if you miss any of the show or want to listen back, you can find us on the free Odyssey app. Mark, diving into Knicks and Sixers. The Sixers, like, they didn't want to play the Celtics. Obviously, no one wants to play the Celtics. But the Knicks kind of got screwed here, because they could have had a Heat team with an injured Jimmy Butler had the Heat gotten past the Sixers. So I bet you the Knicks are kind of like kicking themselves a little bit. I mean, it wasn't up to them at all. They had nothing to do with it. But the Heat almost beat the Sixers in that play-in game. And if the Heat had won, they would be playing the Knicks. So Philly is a big step up from a Jimmy Butler-less Heat team. So the Knicks are going to have their work cut out for them. This is even, the series. -110 on both sides. Am I looking at that right?
Coin flip.
This series could go either way. I am convinced that the Knicks are going to win this series. I'm sorry to say, but I don't like what I saw from Joel Embiid in that play-in game. He did not look like himself. In your estimate, is that lingering injury from what he was dealing with, or is that just reconditioning? He's just not quite back up to game speed yet.
And it's just going to be a long answer, but yeah, I think it is. I think it is the lingering injury, but also I don't think that it's wise for bettors to expect Joel Embiid to ramp himself up into peak condition during this playoff run. I think this is what we're going to see out of Joel Embiid and the Sixers. What I saw in that play-in game was a lot of what I saw the past few years. You know, when things weren't going their way, you know, hands were on the hips, body language was not great. Now they got the win, and Nick Nurse did some great, some good things in that game. But that was a Heat team without Jimmy Butler. Like, it was not an impressive win at all. The fact that it came down to the last minute, I know a lot of people who had Sixers -4.5 that were, ripping their hair out, screaming at the gods after that one, because they should have handled that Miami team very easily. That being said, Kate, like, when Embiid is on the court, the Sixers have been very successful this year. I want to say that they win roughly around 68% of their games. You know, the record with Embiid has been phenomenal. So when he's on the court, he's a difference maker. But I just think that this Knicks team is really tough, man. And I hate to say it because I don't want to bet against my own team. I want the Sixers to go on a run as a fan. I want to have that energy in the city. But I think that this is a real tough matchup for them. I mean, they have big guys down low in the front court that can give fouls to Embiid, that can make him work. And I think that's the key, right? So when you have Hartenstein, you have Mitchell Robinson back down low, they're going to make him work. And this is a guy coming off injury that is not in tip-top, you know, conditioning in a rough physical seven-game series. I don't like it. I bet this a lot of different ways, Kate, but one of the ways I did bet it was the Knicks to win the series. I got minus 110. That was good enough for me. I do think that they ultimately advance in this one. I think it might be a little bit easier than, you know, I would hope for as a Sixers fan.
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, Joel Embiid comes off of an MVP season. He starts the year unbelievable, ends the year pretty unbelievable too. I mean, despite that injury, a big chunk of time he missed during the regular season with that injury, but picked up kind of right where he left off. I almost felt like he looked better in those first few games back than he did in that play-in game. So that was a little surprising to me. Averaging 34 points on the season, that's insane. But in that play-in game, like a lot of, you know, the drop coverage he was playing, he was like back all the way below the basket. Like he wasn't up defending anywhere near where he should have been. And I think a lot of that is fatigue and injury, both of those things kind of combined. So what do the Knicks have to do? Like just attack Embiid over and over, put him in the pick and roll, make him play every possession defensively and tire him out, right? And the Knicks play at the slowest pace in the league. Yeah, this is one thing that I'm very interested to see, and I think we'll get a sense of this in game one. The Knicks play at the slowest pace of any team in the league. They like to crawl up the floor. Maybe they go a little faster. Like that plays into the Sixers' play style a little bit more, but you get Embiid needing to sprint up and down that floor. I mean, he's typically the trailer regardless, but in that playing game, he was like way behind everyone else, where if you are attacking him defensively and you're picking up the pace a little bit where he's having to get up and down the floor, he's going to be gassed by the second half. And I think that's the Knicks recipe to beating the Sixers team and doing it fairly easily, like you said.
Yeah, it might be a situation where we see them play with a little bit of pace early and try and jump out to a lead and make the Sixers play catch up and then try and, you know, wear them out down low, start attacking Embiid, make him play defensively. Even if, you know, I'm not saying that they need to feed the ball inside and challenge him. He's obviously one of the best defensive players in the league. Like you don't want that to be your game plan, but you want to move him, get him, have him moving around, force him to guard people, you know, in the front court and attack them that way. And the biggest problem I have with the Sixers in this series is that it's really Embiid and Maxey from a scoring like perspective. I don't think anyone else is going to be able to step up consistently. And I think that's what they're going to need in this series. It's going to be a real physical series and they're going to need guys to get tough buckets against this tough Knicks defense. And I don't think they have them outside of Embiid and Maxey. And that's going to carry him a little bit early in the series. Wouldn't be surprised if, you know, maybe the Sixers steal a game, you know, game one or a game two in New York. But after that, I just think they're going to get worn down.
That's something I was going to ask you. Like, Tobias Harris, can he consistently be a number three option scoring-wise? I don't think he can. 9 points in that play-in game? Like, what are we doing here? Yeah, he had an off-shooting light. He has had some big games of 20-plus points, you know, 15 fairly consistently. But you put him in these big moments, and he's just gone. And the only way that, well, not the only way, but, you know, you could maybe get a big game out of Nick Batum. Like, you're going to have another game from someone like that. I don't think Batum's going to be the person to repeat that performance. I mean, that was his highest scoring game in, I believe, over a year. But you're going to need, like, a Buddy Hield or a campaign to step up. But a lot of those players, where they score, where they do their damage or, you know, their contribution to the scoring, is in transition. If the Knicks maybe start the game quickly to tire Embiid out a little bit, slow it down in the second half, those transition opportunities might not be there for Philly. So I'm concerned, Mark, for your Sixers. I do think, however, that Philly matches up fairly well against Brunson. Like, they have some players that can defend him, whether that's Anthony Melton, Kelly Oubre. He's long, he's agile. I still don't think that's going to shut Brunson down completely, but at least maybe slow him up a little bit or force other guys on the Knicks to have to step up, similar to those role players I just talked about for Philly.
Yeah, and one thing you mentioned about Brunson, they're not going to slow him down completely. And the reason you say it, he's a dog. Like, he's going to get his. Like, we know he lives for these moments. He can deliver in these moments. So they're not going to shut down Brunson. And Brunson's going to get his. But, you know, the key here is that just the lack of scoring options. Like, you know, between these other guys, like, they're not – you can't count on him consistently. Tobias Harris, I feel like he's been in Philadelphia forever, since the beginning of time, and we ask this question every playoff series. Like, can he be consistent? Can he be that guy that we gave
him
a contract
to?
Oh, yeah. He's getting a ton of money, and every year we ask the same thing. Like, maybe this is the year Tobias Harris, like, steps in and, you know, really fills that void and is the, you know, the third scorer, and it never happens, and it's not going to happen. So now we're going to expect it to happen against this Knicks defense. The way the Knicks play basketball, we expect Tobias Harris to just, you know, have this outer body experience and become, you know, the third piece to Embiid and Maxey. Like, it's just too much for me. Like, I think the Knicks get it done in six. I bet that at BetMGM. I bet the Knicks to win the series 4-2 at +650. I also bet some Knicks -1.5 games. I don't think it goes seven. I think it's more likely to go 5 or 6, and I think that's the best way to attack it. I think the Sixers can steal one early, whether it's game 2 or game 3. But after that, I just think they're going to get worn down. I just don't think they're a good enough team right now. The way, you know, Embiid coming off the injury, and again, I don't think they have the supporting cast that's going to step up around him and Maxey. It's just going to put a ton of pressure on Maxey. That's going to affect him defensively. I don't know. This is a big, big task for Nick Nurse, but it just seems like it's another, like, playoff series with the Philadelphia 76ers, and it's going to end up the same way.
Yeah, like, where do you go from here, right? You couldn't get it done the past
couple
seasons.
They're not a team that historically has taken a punch well, you know, and that's kind of like the analogy. Like, they know they're going to be in for a rock fight with this Knicks team. And that's not really their MO, is like, hey, you know what? We get in these battles and we overcome adversity. They're a front running team. And they have a guy like Joel Embiid who, listen, if he has the ball and the game is on the line at the end of the game, or there's less than a minute left in the fourth quarter and the ball is in his hands, the Sixers have a great chance if they're, you know, within a bucket. But I don't know if it's going to be that situation too much.
Well, and being in the playoffs too, like, kind of disappears a little bit. And some of that is like the injuries that he's dealt with, but averaging less than 25 points per game in 3 of his 7 playoff series, and has only averaged 20 points or less in 2 of those series. So it's like, maybe this is a little different because he has, over the last 2 seasons, been scoring at an extremely high rate, but I just don't see it happening. And the fact that the Knicks have home court advantage, like, Philly fans are nuts, Mark. Like, I'm just going to be real with you. You guys are crazy, and you're crazy in, like, an annoying way that I just don't like you, right? It is what it is. You guys are nuts.
Yeah,
and you know it
that.
Too, by the way, you're laughing right there. But the Knicks having home court advantage, Madison Square Garden is going to be absolutely insane for those first 2 games. To finally, those fans have a team that's not only in the playoffs, but is the number 2 seed, is a legit contender, somewhat, you know, a contender to get to the Eastern Conference Finals, I should say. That place is going to be absolutely bonkers, and it's going to be hard for Philly to win there.
Yeah, Knicks fans have been waiting for this. Like, they've been waiting for this. So them being, you know, a 2 seed is, you know, outstanding for them. They get home court here. I think it's huge. Just because when you just talk about how Philadelphia is, like, them winning this series when they don't have home court advantage, when Embiid's hobbled, just seems like a lot is stacked against us. Like, them. Like, I think that the betting odds are constructed based on Philadelphia's success with Joel Embiid this year, but I'm not convinced that we're getting 100% of Embiid, and I'm not convinced that Nick Nurse is going to be able to make a big enough difference to where this Sixers team doesn't fall into the same trap they fell into previous years, where they get behind, they start looking at the officials, they start getting kind of mopey, playing a little lethargic, apathetic at times. We've seen that consistently with this team in the playoffs. So I don't know. To me, maybe it's a little too close to home. You know how this is with the Bulls, Kate. Maybe I've just seen it so much that I can't, dive back in and just expect it to be completely different. Could be a little jaded. It's possible, but I don't see it here with the Sixers.
Yeah, I don't think you're all that jaded. I think that's just kind of the consensus around this team from what we've seen in the postseason before. You use the word mopey. Like that just clicked like a perfect word to describe the Sixers. Because Embiid does kind of get a little mopey when things aren't going his way. Like he's got his head down. He's just kind of jogging. It's not great. So we're in agreement. Knicks are going to win this series. Sixers, not their year once again. Pat Boyle is going to join us next to talk more NBA. He's the co-host of BetQL 5 Star Weekend. Stay tuned for his bets. That's coming up next here on You Better You Bet.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast. Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Welcome back into the event here on the BetQL Network, presented by BetMGM. I'm Kate Constable. He's Mark Drumheller. We are joined now by Pat Boyle, host of BetQL 5 Star Weekend. Pat, we just got done talking about Sixers and Knicks, and I know you're a big-time Knicks fan. So, we came to the agreement, Mark and I, that this series is only going 5 games and that the Knicks are advancing. How do you feel about that?
Yeah, I'm fired up. I've been fired up about this for the last couple of days here since Nick Batum rescued all of Philadelphia and shot their way back into that game with Joel Embiid limping his way around the floor, looking like he just ran a marathon. And one playoff game in the middle of the third quarter, Embiid looked like he was ready to tap out. So I've been licking my lips ever since here. Yes, I'm a Knicks fan, but yes, you know, we come on this show and this BetQL network is to give out winning bets. So I'm putting my fandom aside when I say that the Knicks are going to destroy the Philadelphia 76ers. I don't think it's going to be much of a series. I think it'd be a surprise if it gets to a seventh game. And I think it's Knicks in five or Knicks in six. So, yeah, I am fired up. I got Paul Reed, the backup center, who's a, you know, Surface G League. I know he's the G League player of the year, but he's talking about how the Knicks are the easier matchup. We got Kelly Oubre talking about how the Knicks are going to give out $100,000 free tickets to the celebrities. Bring them on. Bring on soft-ass Kelly Oubre. Bring on Paul Reed. Bring on the entire city. And bring on Mark Drumheller as well.
I'll tell you what. You know, maybe they do give me a run. They do. Sixers do need a third score. I can shoot. I can't do anything. Off the dribble, no good. Not getting into the lane with these big guys. But catch and shoot, I may be able to get lucky and get a three-pointer off. Who knows? But, you know, Pat, let's talk a little bit deeper about the series and just tell me, like, from the Knicks' perspective, when we start, you know, digging in the player props in this series, like, where do you think their biggest advantages are going to be?
Well, with the Knicks, I think it's on the offensive glass. I think they've been one of the best offensive rebounding teams in the NBA. Number one in offensive rebounds per game, number two in rebounding margin. That is where they thrive. And the fact that Mitchell Robinson has been back now for a couple of weeks really, really helps them out. If he was out and it's just Isaiah Hartenstein, their center, you know, for the majority of the time going up against Embiid, whether Embiid's healthy or not, like that's a problem. Embiid, still, you know, not as 100%, is still one of the best scorers, still one of the best players in the league. I'm not going to pretend like that's not the case. But the fact that the Knicks can now split up the fouls between Isaiah Hartenstein and Mitchell Robinson, the fact that they are both very, very good defensively, you know, you pick up four between each of those guys, okay, fine. Embiid, he's gonna seek his free throws. He's going to get to the foul line. At what rate? Not as high as the regular season. We've seen the way that these games are officiated. So a more physical, rough and tough street fight kind of game, that absolutely favors the Knicks with their rebounding prowess. The fact that they can kind of tie up Joel, limit those second chance opportunities, that's going to force Philadelphia. I think it's going to force Nick Nurse to go with some bigger lineups at times that I don't think that they would want to go to, you know, in this kind of series. I think if they can try to play as athletic as possible, that's their best chance to beat the Knicks because they can't out-physical them. They can't out-rebound them. So I think that's the number one strength that lies within the Knicks. And then if you've watched any of the Knicks games this year, Jalen Brunson has turned into an absolute superstar. So who Philadelphia is going to decide to guard him, whether it's going to be BBL Kyle Lowry or whether it's going to be Tyrese Maxey or any of the other cast of characters that Philadelphia is going to roll out, like Jalen Brunson is a mismatch problem. Embiid is a mismatch problem, yes. The Knicks, I think, have the firepower to at least slow him down and force other guys to beat him. Is Nick Batum going to save you and hit four or five threes a game in this series? I highly doubt it. So I think it's the rebounding far and away that favors the Knicks in this series. Those second chance opportunities that they'll be able to get and consequently on the other end limiting the Philadelphia, the 76ers' second chance opportunities. I think that's what these games come down to.
At the total for game one, 209. That's the second lowest total of all game ones in this first round. The Magic and Cavs, 207.5, so just slightly below Knicks and Sixers. I mean, you mentioned this just being like a very physical, kind of grinded out type of series. Game to game, is it just kind of under or pass with that, in mind?
Yeah, absolutely, Kate. That's a great point. For me, it's the under or pass. It's usually been unders or pass for most Knicks games, depending on the opponent, but with the way that I think the Sixers have to kind of, you know, have had to play without Embiid, and now that they've gotten him back, you know, again, unless the Sixers decide, hey, we want to get into a track meet and we want to try to hit, you know, 17, 18 threes a game, well, that's an interesting strategy. Maybe if they go down 2-0 and they go back home and they find themselves down in the second quarter, maybe it just becomes a three-point barrage. You know, that's how they got themselves back in the game against Miami. Embiid himself, you know, hit those two threes in the fourth quarter. I believe those were the only threes he had the entire game. So if Philadelphia says, all right, we have to turn this into a a modern day NBA game. We can't get into these physical battles. We have to shoot threes. Maybe as the series goes on, you adjust. I think for the first two games at the Garden, it's either under or pass for me.
Pat, so Knicks minus 2.5 point favorites, Sixers plus 125 on the money line. I do believe that Sixers are going to be able to extend this to at least five, you know, if not six games. Where do you think the Knicks are most vulnerable in this series? Like, do you think it's game one? Like, it's really up to the Sixers. If they're going to steal a game, they need to do it early in game one. Like, is the money line a plus 125 worth a look for Philly in game one? Or do you think it has to go back to Philadelphia for the Sixers to get their win?
Yeah, I mean, again, I think this entire series, along with the first game and every game, is going to depend on how Joel Embiid plays, how he responds. You know, again, he came back for the last six, seven, eight games. You know, again, he was worn down. He was gassed. Like, I don't need to tell you that as a Knicks fan, Mark. I'm sure that you and a lot of 76ers fans say, wow, if this is the Joel we're getting every game for this series, it's not going to be great. You know, we're going to need Kelly Oubre, Nick Batum, Maxey to have monster games. Is Furkan Korkmaz still on the team? I think he got traded away. But, you know, you're going to need some big, massive playoff performances from other guys. So in terms of, yeah, if the Sixers are going to win this series, they're going to have to steal either game one or two, right? They're going to have to take home court advantage back to Philadelphia with them. But I know I mentioned, I heard you guys mentioning it right before the last break. And, you know, I gave a little tweet tease before I came on today. I think this series price is sorely mispriced here. That's my favorite bet of the entire first round of the NBA playoffs. Mark, I know you said you mentioned you like taking it. I think we're kind of lockstep, which now kind of scares me that I am part and parcel with a Sixers fan. But the Knicks, you know, BetMGM, you don't get the best price. I shopped around DraftKings minus 105. The Knicks are actually considered the underdog. They're not plus money, but the Sixers are actually priced higher than the Knicks on DraftKings. So I like the Knicks minus 105 as the series winner. And then I think you said the same exact thing, Mark. I'm sprinkling the Knicks minus 1.5 games at plus 210. Those are my favorite. I think this is Knicks and six, you know, more so than anything else.
Pat, okay, so you're salivating at that play. What else on the board, whether it's a series price or first game price, has you salivating a little bit?
Yeah, I think I mentioned this with you guys as well when we had the Mavs and the Clippers locked in. I said, you know, I'm throwing a dart from a mile away here at this one. This just feels like these two teams are evenly matched. I said I like it to go seven. I think BetMGM has seven games at plus 220 right now. I was kind of hoping to get a little bit higher. So the Mavericks to win in seven at plus 700 on BetMGM. That's a bet that I like for that series. You know, again, I just think these two teams are going to go back and forth with each other. They've basically had the identical home records and identical away records the entire year. I think they match up very tightly. You know, injuries aside, which are always a concern for the Clippers, maybe, you know, you get a worn down Kawhi Leonard or a worn down Paul George at the end of this series, and that's why the Mavs can take it in seven. We've seen them be cerebral and that we've seen them be assassins in game seven on the road before when they torched the Phoenix Suns. So I think the Mavs to win in seven at plus 700. I like that one. Another one from that series that I like, assists leader for the series. I like James Harden plus 210. On BetMGM as well. You know, Luka's, everybody thinks it's going to be Luka, right? I mean, he averaged almost a triple-double this year. If it's not Luka, it's going to be James Harden. And I think the fact that you have Kyrie on this Dallas team, the way they operate in the postseason, it's going to be different than they have in years past. Remember, they didn't make the playoffs last year. And when the Mavericks last made the playoffs 2 years ago, teams kind of said, all right, Luka, you want to score, you want to get your points, fine. We're not going to let you hurt us as a facilitator. He only averaged 6.5 assists in the last time the Dallas Mavericks made the postseason in 2022 when they went all the way to the conference finals. So Harden's last 3 years in the postseason, he's averaged basically 8.5 assists per game. So Harden, the top assist leader in that Mavs-Clippers series, plus 210. I like that one as well.
Pat, most of the playoff matchups are now set outside of we don't know who the eight seeds are going to be. We're going to find that out tonight. But when you look at the board, when you look at the NBA playoff bracket, you see how these team matches up. Which higher seed do you think has the best chance of an upset in the first round?
I think it's the Milwaukee Bucks. You know, that's a pretty obvious one. You know, another team that had a lot of expectations, fired Adrian Griffin midway through the year. I don't think I'm alone in saying that I think Doc Rivers has become a clown in the postseason. He's become a choke artist in the postseason. 3-1 lead. He's in like the 28-3, you know, nails on the chalkboard to Atlanta Falcons fans. You write 3-1 and Doc Rivers all of a sudden just turns into a pumpkin. So, you know, you have that. And then, of course, the obvious, Giannis with the calf strain. You know, they're expecting him. They're hoping he can come back later in the series. I mean, that is a massive, massive disadvantage to be playing without Giannis against the Pacers, a team that gave them fits in the regular season, in the play-in tournament, because of how fast they can play. And if you don't have Giannis's athleticism and the Milwaukee Bucks have to go slower, they have to go bigger, or they're relying solely on Dame Lillard. I know Indiana's not a great defensive team, but, I mean, again, you're taking out one of the best players in basketball, two-time MVP. That puts them at a massive, massive disadvantage. That's another series that, you know, I lean the Pacers in that one. I think they're a slight favorite. But I think far and away the Bucks are the top seed that is most ripe for the picking.
Talking to Pat Boyle, host of BetQL Five-Star Weekend. Pat, Lakers and Nuggets. The Nuggets have just had the Lakers number for, what, last couple years? I mean, they swept them in the Western Conference Finals last year, 3-0 against the Lakers this year. Can this series get past four games, or is this? Are we looking at another sweep here for Denver?
Kate, you guys should take up a profession as, you know, some mind readers here, because that was the other bet that I had written down here, and I was hoping you were going to ask me about it. Look, you want to put X's and O's on this series. It screams Nuggets in four, Nuggets in five. They dominated them in the Western Conference Finals last year. These two teams are roughly the same this year. You know, for the most part, the Lakers, they're big four guys. The Nuggets, they're big four scorers. They're four guys. They've won seven in a row, eight in a row, I think, if you go back to the last regular season as well. So you can't really make a case for this series to be that competitive on paper. Sometimes you got to throw X's and O's. Sometimes you got to throw logic out the window. I just think that this series is going to be a lot more competitive than it's been recently, than it was last year. You know, I think the Lakers have some fight in them. I don't think LeBron and AD are going out as easily as they did last year. I think they were a little worn down after two emphatic postseason series victories last year. I think LeBron is kind of riding this wave of being the underdog. You know, we haven't seen that too many times in his career. And I frankly, we know how tough it is to repeat as NBA champions. I think the Nuggets are not as great of a team as they were last year. They're still very good. I think this series has the potential to be very close. And I think right now, you know, shopping around as well, Nuggets, Lakers over 5.5 games, minus 140. Sure, I'll take the Lakers to win two games in this series. I'm taking that absolutely.
Wow. I was going to go with maybe it goes five games, but six, that's interesting. Okay. 20 seconds left here, Pat. Which two teams are meeting in the finals?
Knicks and the Thunder. I think the OKC Thunder are the most underrated one seed in a long time. I've been carrying the flag for the Thunder for a long time here this year. And yes, as a Knicks fan, I think the Knicks can get there. I think that if there's one team in the East that can beat the Celtics, it is the Knicks. Everyone's going to pick the Celtics. So why not go out on a limb here, get some value for your bets. Knicks and the Thunder in the NBA Finals.
That's the first time I've heard that one. I don't hate it, though. When you're talking value, there's some value in that. He's Pat Boyle, host of BetQL Five-Star Weekend. Pat, thanks for joining us.
Kate, Mark, always a pleasure. Thank you, guys. Enjoy your weekend.
You as well. Wow, Mark, I mean, OKC, New York in the finals? Interesting.
I love the OKC part. I can't get on the Knicks. I got too much invested in the Celtics, you know, winning the East. But, you know, I can understand why he's excited about the Knicks. They are probably, I agree with him, that they are the one team that can push the Celtics in the postseason.
We'll discuss further. We're also going to talk a little MLB, some best bets in Major League Baseball coming up next. Mark Drumheller here, hanging out with you on You Better You Bet. We're with you for the next just over 2 hours. You can catch us on youtube.com/OdysseySports or over on twitch.tv BetQL. And if you miss any of the show today, you can always find us wherever you get your podcasts or on the Free Odyssey app. So plenty of ways to check us out. Mark, earlier in the show, told you that the Cubs were up with the bases loaded. I believe it was the third. Well, it's 8-1 now in the top of the ninth. Cubs leading over the Marlins. That was a makeup game from yesterday. So I believe, no, that is the only game these two teams are playing today. Not a doubleheader, but a good win potentially for the Cubs. So one more out. I don't think it's really going to matter. Mark, we also do have an awesome promotion that BetMGM is running throughout the MLB season. It's called the Grand Slam Jackpot Promotion every Friday, Saturday, and Sunday throughout the MLB season. A weekly bet. Place a weekly bet, you get the promotion. You place a $10 or more wager on any player to hit a home run every weekend. Again, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. That is the weekend. And if the player hits a Grand Slam on that day, they can win up to $50,000 in daily prize or a share of that, depending on, you know, how many other bettors also pick that player to hit a Grand Slam. So, for example, Mark, if a customer bets on Aaron Judge to hit a home run on July 31st against Houston, and Judge goes on and hits a Grand Slam in that game, along with nine other customers that, let's say, hypothetically also bet that, each of you will take home $5,000 in cash in addition to your bet winning. That's a pretty good promotion, I would say, right? A little fun, little coffee money, a little beer money sprinkle on a Grand Slam throughout the weekend. You could be $50,000 richer. Not a bad deal.
That's a whole lot of coffee. That's a whole lot of beer money. If you hit that, you're going to be set for a while. But no, I agree with you. It's a great promotion. Nothing more fun than betting home run props.
Okay, so for today, we have that's the only game, the Marlins-Cubs game. That was the afternoon, again, because it was a makeup from their game last night getting rained out. But starting in about an hour or so, we have a ton of games tonight. Do you have any home run props that you are looking at in tonight's matchups?
Yeah, let's go with the Mets. Mets been playing hot, four-game winning streak, taking on the Dodgers. I like Pete Alonso here. You could probably get him right in the 4-1 range, if not a little bit better, against Yamamoto. So Alonso hasn't hit a homer since last Saturday. I think he had a two-home-run game. It's been a little bit quiet of late, but I think he can have some success in this matchup against the Dodgers. So I think it's, you know, worth a little bit of a, you know, splash that a little bit. We don't want to go crazy on home run props because, again, you know, the reason you're getting, you know, 4-1 plus 450 or whatever is, you know, the likelihood of it happening is it's not a coin flip. So, you know, we're getting good odds here. I think Alonso is a guy, every time he touches the ball, he can hit it out of the stadium. So I'll take my chances with him tonight.
All right. I like it. Home run props are always fun, plus a pretty nice payout when those hit. I'm looking at this Nationals-Astros game tonight, Mark. I mean, we have Justin Verlander going up against Mackenzie Gore. I don't know. Can we trust Verlander anymore? He's just been on the decline over the last, like, what? He's, like, in his 40s, right? I feel like you just kind of have to fade Verlander.
I can get down with that. I mean, I think it's, you know, hey, it's a spot where if you think it's worth attacking, you can definitely do it. You know, Verlander is a guy, a lot of experience, but it does feel like he's been pitching forever, doesn't it?
Right? I feel like his name has been around for years. Whenever that some movie with Kate Upton came out like 10 years ago, we were talking about Verlander because aren't they married? Isn't that's the celebrity duo, Kate Upton and Justin Verlander?
Is that the duo? I did not know. I don't know who Verlander's married to be honest with you. I thought he was married to the game. Come on, man. Is he? Him and Kate Upton? Not bad.
I'm pretty sure. This is like a great example of how up I am on pop culture and things like that. Like, Mark, I'm going to be real here. I did not know Taylor Swift was dropping an album last night. I mean, I didn't know she was dropping one. I certainly did not know she was dropping two. I woke up and saw it on my Twitter timeline this morning that she put out some new music. That was the first I had heard of that. I kind of live under a rock when it comes to this stuff. So I'm patting myself on the back here knowing that at least I knew that Justin Verlander was married to Kate Upton and you didn't. That kind of makes me feel good.
I had no idea, but I did know about Taylor Swift. My daughter gave me the heads up last night. She knew it was coming. Super excited. Got to give credit to Taylor Swift, man. Like, you got to get it while you can. And, the you know, the iron is hot with Swift. You know, again, one of the most you know, polarizing, you know, cultural icons right now. I mean, everything is Taylor Swift, and for her to just hit you with the 1-2, man, the double album. Incredible. I didn't hear it yet though, but I'm sure I'll get my taste over the weekend.
I haven't listened to any of it either. I don't even know, like, if there are, you know, little call outs to Travis throughout some of the music. I would imagine all her music in the past has been like about her boyfriends and relationships, right? You've got to throw a little Kelsey in there.
Yeah, I do know. Good friend of mine, Minty Betts, tweeted out that there's a song called Down Bad that, you know, is, you know, hey, as gamblers, we've all been there, right? So maybe that's one we can align with.
We have all been. Is that down bad? Like she's in so much, she's so in love, she's down bad, or like
could be. I'm gonna have to find out. I don't know yet, but I'm sure I'll know. But
I think as gamblers and report back.
It's always a volatile ride as gamblers. You know, we have our streaks. We some of them are hot, some of them are cold, and when they're cold, we always feel down bad. It always feels like you can't turn it over. You ever do that? Like when you're in a cold streak. The one thing I try not to do is overthink. I almost like go back to the basics and start trusting my initial instincts, because when I'm going through a rut, you know, when the bets aren't hitting and I feel like the more I try and press and the more I think about it, the worse I get. And it just gets into a cycle. So for me, like when I'm down bad, when I'm on a cold streak, I just start firing off my initial instincts and just try and fire my way out of it.
Yes, I have been there before. I was there. What, over the weekend, a little bit earlier in this week, I had a rough start to the week. And I went through that whole thought process. Like, I can't hit a bet right now to save my life. Like, what do I do? Should I just, you know, make very, what I think is very safe bets, lower my unit size? Mm-hmm. And that's typically what I do. I just lower my unit size a little, but still kind of try and, you know, go through my same process. Well, two nights ago, Mark, I hit a plus 450 long shot on Jaime Jaquez with those five rebounds. I also hit a plus 405 parlay and a plus 162 little money line parlay that night. So all of a sudden we are just back and feeling good. And our confidence is back, which confidence in sports betting actually goes hand in hand, because when you're overthinking, when you're second guessing yourself, that's oftentimes when you're losing the most. So having some confidence betting each night, it goes a long way. Gotta love it.
It definitely does. And there's no better feeling than snapping out of the cold streak. And then the bets start hitting and you're just like, I'm back. Like I'm finally back.
It was like a sigh of relief.
It feels good. Yeah. Because when the ball's rolling the wrong way, it's just tough to turn it around sometimes, but you know, it's always good to break those cold streaks.
Let's bring in Jake Hassan for some of these baseball bets tonight. Jake, is there anything on the board that has your eye?
I mean, you know what day it is. It's the best day. It's a weekly holiday. Blake Snell's on the mound tonight against Arizona Diamondbacks. It's my Arizona Diamondbacks, too. It's all lining up Jake right now. So we're going the Diamondbacks. Over 3.5 team total. Way too low for a team that is second in the league in OPS against left-handed pitching, fourth in the league in weighted runs created plus. And oh, by the way, Blake Snell, rough start to his Giants career, not having a good one, ERA over 6. So I love the spot. That's my favorite one. Like I always say, you know, he won a Cy Young Award. Great. Cool. I'm still going to try and beat him. I'm never wrong. I'm just early. So we're going back to that. And we already cashed the Cubs team total over today. So that was a lot of fun. We're off to a great start.
Love to see it. That is a great start. Little Cubs team total afternoon action. Tonight.
Yeah. It was easy.
Yeah, definitely. Let me pick your brain on a bet I got in the account for tonight. Jake,
beautiful.
I took the Brewers over the Cardinals, two right-handed pitchers. Brewers do definitely do a better job against right-handed pitching so far this season. Kyle Gibson, 6.16 ERA, struggling this year. Peralta, on the other hand, 26 Ks, only 2 walks. I feel like he's in the zone. I took the Brewers here. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I thought the Brewers at first because Freddie Peralta is on the mound and he's a Cy Young candidate right now. He's the second favorite, but he actually has bad history at Busch Stadium and against the Cardinals. I know this Cardinals team is about 73 years old on average and they're not playing great, and Peralta's been awesome. I stayed away from it, but my initial thought was Brewers, but I just couldn't get a good feel. I think you're on the right side, though. If I was going to make a bet in that game, it would be the Brewers.
Ladies and gentlemen, just like I was talking about, you have to trust the initial instincts. Jake's initial instinct was the Brewers, so we're going to go with that.
Yeah, trust your gut. Trust the gut feeling.
Jake, do you have any, just for funsies, home run props?
Yeah, so I'm trying to decide which Red Sox I want to throw it on. It might be Tristan Cassis, might be somebody else in that lineup, maybe like a Reese McGuire at a longer price. Just because the Pirates have a guy who's making his season debut. It's not named Paul Skeens, but that's either near or there because apparently they don't want to win games. Anyway, it's Quinn Priester, and he's been fine when he's been up on the Pirates roster, but mostly it's because it's at PNC and the wind is blowing way out. Red Sox just had a rough series against the Guardians at home, so Red Sox team weirdly has been hitting better on the road. So with the wind out in that park against a guy making a season debut, I like the Red Sox there. So if you're looking to bet that game, if you're looking to take some shots with some home run props, I would just pick your favorite Red Sox and go with them. Maybe some long prices, maybe somebody like Tristan Cassis who's been hot, but that's how I would go.
Dodgers on the diamond tonight, Jake, against the Mets. Dodgers,
yeah,
minus 200
favorites? The Mets are terrible. The Mets are terrible, and I would usually never go for a minus 200 favorite, so I'm certainly not going to lay that money line. I would usually look to the other side. It's worked out a couple times with the Nationals and the Rockies last week, but I just don't like this Mets team. I don't like Sean Manaea, but if they lose, their probably division price isn't going to change that much because it's just sitting at minus 650, so get those Padres and Diamondbacks bets in for division because those prices are way wrong.
Way wrong. There also could be some way wrong prices in this Cavs Magic matchup. So we're going back over to the NBA on the other side. Stick with us here on You Better You Bet.